When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV begins right now. I'm Jeff. Ira. Corey. I'm looking at the camera.
Hey, guys. I'm Corey. Ira's over there.
Our friends, Register Sausage, sponsor this hour, and we thank them very much for doing so. Yay, sausage!
They sponsor the whole show,
that's
Jeff.
True. That's true. It's not just this hour.
They're here for
it's
all
the one
us.
We talk about.
They don't. Ben doesn't just take off after the first hour.
No, yeah. He's still here.
He's still grinding.
He's not like walking out the door. He's here just like he has been all season. Man, mm-hmm. Our sponsors, like the FSU fan base, have been through it. But
yeah.
But we've come through the other side now, winning five of the last seven games. And
doling out victory sausage almost every week.
Now. It's crazy.
It's just what he does.
People are no longer looking for sympathy sausage. They are getting after some victory sausage.
And if they win this week to finish 6-2 over the last eight, qualify for a bowl and beat a rival, he's got to have probably a 95% off discount for something.
I love that you volunteer business owners to give away their products.
right. 90%, 95%. I haven't still quite come up with the number.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, he's going to do something if they beat Florida. That's what Ben does.
We need to come up with a sausage dish for Thanksgiving. I don't know if that's on our menu, but we may need to – maybe for breakfast. Maybe do the breakfast sausage.
A little
sausage.
Breakfast sausage for the ladies.
Yeah, it's delicious. Registermeats.com.
Sausage pie.
Registermeats.com is the website where you can have it delivered to your house. I don't know if it'll get there by Thanksgiving. The delivery services aren't quite that fast these days anymore.
Corey's going to be devastated when he finds out that his mic is having problems right now.
Oh, no. People can't hear me?
I can hear you. The radio people can hear you. We're having audio issues. This is two weeks running now, 3 weeks running.
Wow.
It's devastating. In particular, your mic appears to be a problem, but they're gonna get it fixed. He's working on it. I can see this frantic look on Director Matthew's face, so we're trying to get this worked out. In the interim,
registermeats.com is the website. Order your sausage or to go to your local grocery store if you're in North Florida, down into over to Jacksonville, towards Alabama. They'll take care of you. Best sausage in the entire universe. There's no sausage better than Register Sausage out in the universe.
I would agree with that. I've not tried the universe's sausage.
Yeah.
But my guess is it couldn't surpass.
Can you just swing that one to me when I want to talk?
No, people can hear you driving down the road.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're good to go.
We could get on the mic like Springsteen and what's his name?
Yeah, Little Steven.
Little Steven singing to each other.
Yeah. You got to put on a bandana, though.
Well, you know I'll do that.
One. You need
You know
one.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
So let's get straight to it. The opportunity presents itself this weekend to sweep your in-state rivals for a group that was 0-4. Oh, it's working. All the mics are working again. There you go. There you go. It's great.
Good.
So there it is. You got a chance. Think about it again. Let it wash over you, everybody. Let it wash over you a little bit. Got a chance to sweep your in-state rivals. Be already the most stable program in the state. Clean up in recruiting because of it. And go to a bowl after starting 0-4. With this program's, well, maybe one of the two or three worst losses in the history of the program, maybe the worst loss in the history of the program.
Worst.
Yeah, you could. Bottom line is that didn't seem to be possible at 0-4, but it's very possible as we sit here today. In fact, you might argue it's likely.
You know, if Mike Norvell was coaching at a different school, say Duke, or maybe Wake Forest.
By the way, Cutcliffe has done a bang up job there the last few years. I feel like he's got that thing turned around.
And that's what I was going to say is if one of those schools you start off 0-4, won six of your last eight, beat both of your rivals, went to a bowl game, you might win Coach of the Year.
You could,
but that's not going to happen for Mike Norvell because you're Florida State.
Well, and also because the Wake coach probably is going to win it.
Well,
Lawson could you could make a good.
They're falling off a cliff lately.
Yeah, I'm just saying in general, like the way it would be. the way it would be perceived.
Sure. I agree.
Because it is. It's remarkable. And the other thing that I was thinking about this morning, it's like why it's dumb to jump to such strong conclusions. Like everybody early in the season decides this team stinks, that coach is awful, that kid can't play. And then you look at what's happened this year when Florida lost to Alabama by 2.
Yeah, they got moved up to number 10.
You're thinking, man, they may get in the playoff. When Florida State starts 0-4, you're thinking this guy might get fired in 2 years also.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing what 6 or 8 weeks can do.
Well, and this is where, in credit to Mike Norvell and his staff, this is where having the ability to go to practice, and you've been to every one of them, but, you know, the beat gets to cover this team and be there and watch the day-to-day goings on. And so it's why we would come on here and constantly go, I know it doesn't look like it, guys, but I'm pretty sure he's a good coach. It's just, for whatever reason, it's not happening. And that having that access actually turns out to be something that worked in his favor, because most people who attend those practices, and not just you, not just me, not just Corey, anybody that goes out there and gets to see those practices can see that there's organization, there's intensity, there's focus. They seem to have a real plan in place, and they stick to it. Kids respond. They give effort, play hard, learn a lot. You know, so like you could see that it just wasn't translating in wins.
Well, but it needed to translate.
It did, but you got a sense that it would, because you could see that they were working hard and that they were organized and that they are well coached.
Yeah, and it is bizarre to think about where we were 2 months ago, where the only good thing that Florida State fans had to say about Norvell, probably literally, was the answer he gave about before the Syracuse game. Like, people loved that moment, but it was still an 0-4 coach saying that. Now here he is. He's a 5-6 coach, really close to winning the game at Clemson, too. They're really close to being 6 out of their last 7. And then their other one was the loss when the team had the flu and they didn't have their quarterback. So it's been a turnaround, and to see it translate to wins is such a big deal. Like, I don't know that we think it's like if they would have finished 3-9 this season, but we saw the overall improvement, we'd have been like, yeah, this team is better. It's much better. The record isn't, but the team is much better. But they've actually strung together some wins now where fans start to believe in it. Casual fans start to believe in it, and recruits and their families definitely believe in it. And that's what matters the most, right? Well, and the players on the field. The players in the locker room believe in it now.
Well, they're being rewarded for that, because they're winning football games at a pretty consistent clip, and they do have a chance maybe to go bowling. And I never thought I'd say it, but a 6-6 team could be the most likable bowl team we've produced since maybe the national champions that we've had around here. I mean, like Florida State made a habit of going to bowls for, you know, the better part of 40 years. And I don't know that I will have appreciated too many of them more than I will this one.
No, I was, I think it was on my Facebook memories. Yeah, on my Facebook memories the other day. The video I took of them carrying Mickey Andrews off the field after they beat Maryland.
Mm.
And didn't that game secure the bowl berth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that game extended the bowl streak. Mickey Andrews' last home game. It was kind of a somewhat miraculous win. It looked like they may not win it. And at that moment, you're thinking, man, how awful is this that Florida State has to win a game in November to get bowl eligible against Maryland? I mean, it just felt like such a low point. And it's like now, man, if they could just get to a bowl game, you know, it's just, I'm not saying that to like pick it. Right, yeah, no, yeah. It just shows that. And I think it's important going into this game in particular, because I think Florida right now feels like, I mean, do those kids really want to go to a bowl game?
That's what I was arguing. I'm like, this is two teams with the same record with very different motivations and in very different states of being.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Florida just fired their head coach. They'd already fired their offensive line coach. They'd already fired their defensive coordinator. So, really, now there's nobody left there, and everybody else right now. We do know this because we've watched coaching changes happen frequently here in the last few years. Here's what happens, guys. When you start to go down that path and it looks like guys are going to get fired or they are fired, everybody else scrambles to find a job.
That's definitely part of it.
They're all like, at that point, how focused is anybody on that staff? Because they got to find a place to work.
Yeah. Well, and how focused are the players knowing that the person that's coaching them in that moment, their position coach,
ain't going to be
their position coach next year.
No.
So, and I was talking with Aslan about that on Wake Up War Chain. I think the difference with Odell was they did want to play for Odell. He was an interim coach of different stripes. He was through and through Florida State. You wanted him to have his moment as the head coach. People rallied for him.
He's a Florida State legend.
Nobody's rallying for Knox. No. You know, he's a special teams coach that's been there for a couple years, right? And most of those position coaches won't be there next year. So I have no doubt Florida players will play hard, at least initially on Saturday, because it's a game. It's competitive. There's fans in the stands. But what are they doing this week? to get ready for it. How hard are they really preparing for this game? I think that's where you have a really big advantage.
And the added addition to that, that we've always talked about with coaches scrambling to find jobs and reaching out to other people, are that players leave now. Mm-hmm. Players leave. They just say, oh, this is not working. Look at this. I didn't sign up for this. I'm out. And they can. Yeah. So in the past, players really didn't have much in the way of options. They weren't as suitable as they are now. Now a player's like, well, this is a mess. I'm putting my name in the transfer portal. What the hell do I care?
Right.
I mean, so you have all these issues going on. Now, again, it's a rivalry game. Two programs that have a lot of kids that know each other. Probably played against each other in a lot of places in high school. I would think pride would kick in when you take the field. You don't want to get embarrassed on your home field in a rivalry game because your name's attached to that for life. So, you know, you will probably care in the beginning, but you can beat that out of a team that's listless pretty quickly.
Well, and also from a coaching standpoint, you know, the DC that they elevated was a GA 5 years ago. He's a guy that played for, Grantham. He played for Grantham at Georgia. He coached under him at Mississippi State, came with him here as a position coach. He's never been a defensive coordinator before, so now he's calling plays. And I think his first time out the gate was that Samford game, which didn't go all that well.
It was a toughie.
I like the adjustments he made in the second half.
Just gave up the 10 points.
Right. Yeah,
in the
after
half.
The 42 in the first, he locked it down.
And guys, then, I'm going to make some adjustments. Yeah. It's not working.
And then your offensive coordinator, the guy that's going to be calling plays now, is a guy who has been an offensive coordinator in the SEC level, at Power 5 level, so he's more experienced. But, man, Mullen has been calling plays for that offense since he got there. So that's, you don't know how that's going to work as well either. And then you don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, if he's going to go with Richardson. There's just so many unknowns going into this game. But the biggest one is, yeah, like whether or not those kids are paying attention this week. I know Florida State is. Like, I was out there at practice this morning. That was a very good practice. The offense is really playing well. Jordan and the receivers and running backs and tight ends really played at a high level. So they're going to have a great week of practice. And I think they're going to play really well. I would say the odds are Florida, you would think, is not. You wouldn't expect them to.
Yeah,
now,
if
they could
placing
happen.
Odds, it could. You're right. But if you're placing odds, yes, you would lean towards the kind of mundane, just let's get through this type of performance. By the way, Florida State answered all calls that we had on this show a week ago.
Yeah.
By the way, they prepared, showed up, focused, and dominated BC.
Right.
Without the help of the officials, that game is a 30-point ass beating. And you know what? That's a sign, again, of really good things to come. This year, obviously, but I also think you look ahead to next year. I mean, they have these kids locked in. They work hard. They did not rest on their laurels with getting the signature win over Miami, the feather in the cap, and the fact that they had probably turned it around in recruiting and all that stuff. No, they went up there realizing they had work to do, and they came out. They were physically imposing. Yeah. If you think that first quarter of just how bad BC looked, how bad that offensive line got its ass whipped, how bad that kid at quarterback had to feel after those first four series, he must have thought he's going to be broken.
Yeah.
I mean, he was slammed to the turf countless times, head bouncing off the turf every other play. That's a great sign of a hungry team and a focused team.
Yeah, I thought it was their best first half of the year. I don't even know if you could argue that. They were up 19-3 at half, and they probably would have been up 26-3 if they don't call the OPI because they ended up punting on that drive. I just thought that was that was really impressive for them to do what they did. And then, look, they didn't play great in the second half. Offensively, you got to figure out what you're doing on third down. You're just missing too many of those. And I don't know. It's weird that Jordan Travis kind of only runs on first and second down for first downs. But on third down, third and four, third and six, his legs aren't used as much. Maybe moving forward, they'll figure that out. But overall, man, I thought they played really, really well. And if it wasn't for, I'm going to call them questionable calls. Just question. Look, 50-50. They could go either way, Ira. They're judgment calls. These guys are human too, right?
And I know people don't want to talk about officiating because it's seen as like just.
I think Florida State fans love it.
I don't know, man. There's some of both.
It's not like excuse making when it's so obvious. Like there's crazy calls.
Well, I
game
actually think it's a
calls.
Larger discussion. It's less about look what happened to us. Because it did.
Although, when you look at that crew, if you looked at the numbers later in the day, crew, when they call Florida State games versus any other crew that calls a Florida State game, and also that crew versus any other game they call,
it's weird how
the flags start coming out. It's just weird.
It's definitely suspicious. It's definitely suspicious. It would be enough for me as a head coach to be fined heavily after that game. I know that he did the right thing and took the high road.
Not really. What's it, $10,000?
Yeah. I mean,
he makes $3.5 million.
Yeah,
that's not, like you getting fined $40.
No big deal. Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I know he's early on. I think next year if it happens again.
Well, he basically made it known.
Yeah, well, but he
both,
did. He
both
did.
In-game and what he said after the game lets you know that he was pissed.
But I would do like what was it Al Davis that had the slideshow when he fired Lane Kiffin?
It was the best.
I would do a slideshow.
Wispy was on the verge of death when he did that presentation. So it made it all the better. You had the Crypt Keeper up there trying to
Is this thing on? Is this working? but I would do that with those. The five that are just egregious. I'd be like, explain this to me. I'm taking my $10,000. That's already on the table.
Yeah,
actually have the check written, a big like PGA Tour check made out to the ACC, and then go play-by-play and say, this is abominable, and this cost us points. Well, it almost cost us a game.
And from a big-picture standpoint, if you're the administration and if you're Mike Norvell, especially in the offseason, you know, that Clemson game, those two calls were pretty big calls on Clemson's game-winning drive that did not go your way. Earlier this season, in the end of the Miami game, I thought that was pass interference. It didn't end up mattering. And then this game, I mean, it's just like, hey, man, we're still Florida State. We may be 5-6 right now. We may not be where we need to be, but this league's better off if Florida State
isn't. You want us to win
this
game and not Boston College. Exactly. I promise you want Florida State to win this game.
But now you're going to fuel the fire. You're now leading all of the wackadoos into that safe
place,
buddy.
Come on with me.
Come on. Oh, here we go.
Come on out.
Here we go. Every call now.
Come on out.
See?
Yeah.
Next
Ira knows what next thing you know, he'll be on a bridge waiting for JFK to show back up in Dallas.
Eric, thanks for the contribution. He writes, what's up, Jeff, Ira, and Corey? This game is over Saturday as soon as the Seminoles get off the bus.
Mm.
Knowles 42-21.
Confidence.
He donated $42 for that.
And
Kevin, all right, Eric.
Kevin donated as well. He says, hey, I fell asleep after the Louisville game, just woke up. What did I miss?
You fell asleep at halftime of the Louisville game.
Man. Things have changed a little bit.
That's why it flipped, man. Halftime of the Louisville game.
That's
when it flipped.
They should do those. Have you seen those videos like during the pandemic of like people like who like they're talking to their self before the pandemic and explaining what happened later? You should do an FSU. They should do an FSU fan.
That would be good.
So the McKenzie Milton thing didn't really work out.
Not a good idea.
No, it was cool at the time. Those two drives against Notre Dame got everybody fired up.
People really thought it was about to be a thing.
Yeah, well.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Rolling on, Seminole Headlines, 93.3. Real Talk Radio. Hope you guys are having a great Thanksgiving week. Hope you're going to have a great Thanksgiving wherever you're going. These two gentlemen right here will be rolling down to Gainesville. I'm not. I'm not going to Gainesville.
No, duh.
No, you don't need three of us. Don't need three of us.
Are you going to go? You have to say it right now. Wherever they go to a bowl,
yes,
are you going to go?
The answer is yes. Yes.
I know he's saying yes.
No. I mean,
what are the odds?
Why would I not go? I'm proud of this team. I just got done bragging about
what's the last bowl
how
you went to?
They might be going to Tampa.
Well, you'll definitely go to that.
Yeah. Go down to
we'll be hanging on Del Mabry.
But you would go to El Paso or Shreveport.
Yes.
Ooh, that was
100%. I'm saying it right here now.
Okay. All right, guys, you're hearing this.
I can't wait, in fact.
Love
I'll take your place. I'm in. Let's go.
Please do.
I will.
Please do. They don't want me in
Shreveport.
Maybe
Ira and I can go to El Paso together, experience the greatness of El Paso.
Yeah, I would love it. I'd love to go back. that's the thing. And I think I asked Norvell this the other day, like, it's not just about getting to a bowl game because of what it means and just because of how impressive
it's
it would be.
A reward for kicking ass.
But I also think this team would like to be together for another couple weeks. You know, they really like each other. Now we'll see. Maybe some of the guys who are draft eligible may decide, I like you guys.
I love you, but I like that money that's waiting
like
on
that
me
much.
Too. Yeah.
If Jermaine did that, screw him for eternally. What's he done for this program? You're gonna sit out the El Paso Bowl?
By the
are
way,
you crazy?
I'm glad you brought this up because I actually had this conversation with my dad, and I think I ruined his night because I was saying to him, and this will let you know that I'm definitely going to the bowl. I said, Dad, if they go to a bowl, you want to go? And he's like, yeah, you know, I think I do. I'm proud of this team. And we were kind of, you know, kicking it around. He goes, where do you think they're going? I'm like, well, it's probably a short jaunt. I think we'll probably head over to Shreveport or something like that. And then as we were talking about it, I said, now there's a good chance we're going to get stomped in the bowl game. He goes, no, I don't think so. And I go, oh, that front four, they ain't playing. None of those guys are playing because they're all going to announce for the NFL. And when that happens, it's going to be a different looking game.
We'll see.
I mean, come on.
We'll see.
If we're being realistic.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect 11 or 4 to play at all in a bowl game. But, hey, let's worry about that bridge when we get to it. You know what I mean? You still got to win one more game. But, yeah, I would be – there's no way. I mean, I would tell Jermaine Johnson, dude, what are you doing? You can come on the plane.
You don't need to play.
You can do all the fun stuff in Shreveport, all the cool bowl activities they have, like the Hustler Club. They have the blackjack table. All the cool stuff in Shreveport you can do, but you're not going to play in the game.
Speaking of which, at the
bevy of cool stuff in Shreveport.
Yeah, you can swim in the brown water.
Before the Boston College game, there was a guy down in the field that was kept talking to, and I think I might have mentioned on the Smash, but like kept talking to FSU's defensive coaches. And I was like, is he a former player? He looked like he'd have been a former player. He's a big dude. But I didn't recognize him. Turns out it was a scout for the Patriots. There's a guy who did play. I think he played at Ohio State. But anyway, man, he spent an awful lot of time, more than I've ever seen a scout talking to assistant coaches, talking to Fuller, Odell Higgins a lot, Odell Higgins, and also a lot with John Papuchis. So definitely a defensive lineman. Maybe one at one. The Patriots seem very interested.
Did they tell Keir Thomas, like, hey, man, there's a Patriots scout here? Because he played, like,
it's possible.
I mean, that was impressive what he did. Yeah. He should have had four or five sacks.
Think about how much, I mean, when we got the yes from those two guys, and when Florida State got the answer yes for the transfer portal, those two guys, did you think for a moment that they could make up a duo that is arguably as good as anybody's in the country?
Nope.
No.
It's unreal.
No.
I mean, think about what that. You know, sometimes you hit on a guy and he provided some positive things for you. You don't normally get a guy this early in the transfer portal like we've seen that is going to be a potential first-round pick.
It's unbelievable. And I really, as good as he looked in the spring, I kept telling myself, man, you need to slow down because it may just be
that this group on this sucks curve. Trying to block
him. And the other guys on defense that don't look like him. Like, he stands out so much, but why was he just a guy at Georgia? So maybe he's just a guy. And it's like, no, he's not just a guy.
Oh, that's
he's
just how good they're.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of just the guys over there too. So they all probably would look like that again with mere mortal defenses.
But and Keir had been.
Keir was awesome.
He'd played some inside. He'd been hurt.
But we didn't get to see him in the spring, right?
Or he wasn't available in the spring.
So we didn't know what he was. We knew he was an experienced, talented guy because he'd been around forever. But we didn't know exactly what it looked like. And yeah, it's one of the best combos in the country.
Seth writes and contributes. Thank you, Seth. Jermaine doesn't play, but I think Keir will. I'm pretty sure that dude doesn't want this year to end and really wishes he had all 4 years here. Well, maybe he does, but, man, I mean, if you have the potential to make that kind of money, I think
it's Jermaine's like a obvious first or second day pick, right? I don't know that Keir Thomas is. I mean, I think he's an NFL player, but, you know, I don't know where the calculus comes into, like, okay, I'm going to sit this out because I might be a fifth-round pick, I might be a fourth-round pick.
It may depend on what that situation, but also I would say that to Seth's point is accurate. Keir did want to come here out of high school. You know, Odell Higgins recruited him. He definitely was very eager to come to Florida State. I don't think he chose South Carolina over Florida State. I thought they had a numbers crunch. He ended up going a different route. So he does love every second about being here. I mean, Jermaine does too, but I think Jermaine would with these guys and this coaching staff, maybe at a different school. But Keir, I think specifically Florida State means a lot to him.
Well, it's been fun to watch all those guys and watch Fabian Lovett and all those guys. Yeah. I mean, they really have done a good job with these guys. And now they're going to need, obviously, we're all flying high right now and feeling really good about what this team is and the potential for a lot of guys on this team, including Jordan Travis and some of the other guys that we've talked about and watched them get better throughout the course of the year. Only thing I worry about, and I know we need to worry about that now and we're playing Florida this week, but I mean, you're losing a lot up front. They're going to have to hit again in that transfer portal. They're going to have to hit on some guys.
They do, but I would say two things. One is that's true, but I think they can because I think other schools and we
certainly saw, helpful that you had this kind of success.
You have that evidence. The other thing is part of the reason they coach the way they do, part of the reason they need that front four to be so dominant this year is because the back end was a little questionable. You had some newer guys, especially at linebacker. If you improve that area, now you can feel more comfortable being exotic on third downs and in pass rushing situations. Right now, I don't think they want to do too much of that because they want to protect that back end. But as you get better at those positions, then maybe you can be more aggressive and you don't have to always get it from your front four.
Papuchis did talk about that, though, yesterday, about what these guys have done and how that correlates to recruiting not just the high school kids but the transfer portal kids. Like he's like, look, we tell these guys the pitch is – we had a plan for these guys when they came in. Here's what happened. Here's how it happened. Here's what they did for us. And now you can do the same thing, essentially. So they will have to be very attractive to any of the best defensive end transfers in the country. They would just have to be because of what their two guys did.
Well, yeah, it's success in the transfer portal begets success in the transfer portal, where you get an opportunity again because now that pitch has been solidified. You're like, well, here it is, man. They didn't just come here and play. They came here and amplified and, you know, have a chance to really improve their stock depending on where they go in the draft. I mean,
and then those guys are going to be such good salespeople when recruits or transfer candidates come on campus. I mean, that team, that locker room, the way they have bought into this coaching staff, the way they believe in this coaching staff, and the way they love each other, that helps in recruiting. Because when kids come and they see that, you can't fake that. And so I think, I mean, all of that is very positive going forward.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV continues in a moment. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us. You might see us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women at
whatever
some bars.
You're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's
sure,
all right.
But
even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The most
important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats
really
that?
Good.
He does. At Horizons
Bar
and Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizon's got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the right off of Thomasville Road in Bannerman up there on the Northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Some folks have continued to contribute to our efforts here this afternoon. I got to catch up with everybody. Khalil writes, we all would agree that the three Heisman winners are the top three QBs in our history, but who are the fourth and fifth best QBs in history? I'm always partial, by the way. I mean, statistically, it won't be the case, but I really liked Peter Tom Willis when he was here. I thought he was
a cool dude. It was the 1 year, though, right?
Yeah,
he just played the 1 year.
But, I mean, I think you got to go. You could certainly look at Danny Cannell. You could look at Casey Weldon. You can look at guys like that. Who would you put?
Yeah, I'd put Weldon in. That's a tough one. Like McManus is there.
I was gonna say McManus is there.
McManus is there at the start of the dynasty. Yeah. It was a gunslinger
and Canada's best quarterback.
Canadian quarterback ever. Him and
all
Flutie.
The great cups that he won. Yeah.
Khalil, you're the man, by the way. And maybe Ponder. He played for 3 years. He started for 3 years. He's a first-round pick. He kind of brought them back to a little bit to prominence in Jimbo's first year.
Yeah, we're just picking 4 and 5. Ponder's not getting picked.
All right. I mean, he was
so you're going to go.
Because Casey's definitely one of them, so it's just who's the other one?
Who's the other?
Ponder for me.
Could be PT.
It's Peter Thomas.
I like PT.
Yeah.
All right. Jeez. I like
Lord.
Christian Ponder. Jeez. That's pretty good. He beat Florida.
Stop it. He did. Mark writes, Corey, do you and Norvell have a spiritual connection? You inspire the man's emotions. Keep it up.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a pretty innocuous question. It's the weird thing is that when he starts to go on those runs where he's talking, they're really well done. They're almost so thought out. You're like, he was waiting for this moment, but he won't stop looking at me. Like sometimes, like Jimbo, when he would get into his, he'd look around the room a little bit, and make eye contact with other people.
It's kind of what he does with answering questions.
Well, he stays on you. Yeah. But it just so happens that like his two longest answers this year have been to my questions. So he is on me. And I was telling Aslan, we wear masks in there. And with the Syracuse win after about like, why would any recruits come here? That wasn't how I phrased it. You know what I mean? But his 4 minute soliloquy, he was staring daggers at me. This one, he was still staring at me, but I had a smirk on my face because I knew, like, what was going on. Like, I was thinking in my head, like, here we go again. He's just going to stare at me for 2 minutes. But I had a mask on, so he couldn't see that I was smirking. But yeah, it can get a little uncomfortable that much.
Power that you have?
Well, no, the unbroken eye contact with another person can be a little awkward, yeah. But I think
we
make
we
it work.
We just did it for 30 seconds right there.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I got to look away. I got to look at Ira.
But it kind of goes with your Oprah mystique that you have that is Kenny.
Getting guys choked up.
Yeah, well, that's what I do, man. I come in there. I ask a lot more questions. I try to just get the viral video moment and then be done with it. To help them in recruiting.
You're calculating.
That's what I do.
Dave in Bardstown writes, Jeff, 1 month ago you said we are not a bowl team. We aren't. In 1 week, will you call your sales rep at Register Sausage, Ben, live on the air and place an order for Crow Sausage? Yay, Crow!
You should order some. I know you don't eat sausage, but your family does.
Mm-hmm.
So you should order some on air.
Sure, I'd gladly do it. I mean, I'll order the sausage. I'm not afraid to do so.
The idea that again, when you looked at that schedule, when we thought they could win six or seven games this
year, the back end
it was because
made it up.
We thought they were going to do it all in the front end and then just try to do something in the back end. Instead, they completely blew it in the winnable games, and now there's a chance they might be Miami, Florida at Boston College.
You know what I should do?
Kidding.
I should go, because I'm sure we have it in the archives. Before the season, when Tom and I do our W's and L's, I said 6-6. And then, of course, I went on to say that I thought they'd win a lot of games early and lose a lot late. But I'll cut that out and just say,
hey,
guys, I called 6-6. I nailed this thing right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And if you want proof, here's the audio.
Here's proof. This is from August 6. This is from August 28th, everyone.
Yeah, it's a while back. I did take 6-6. I just didn't think it would look like this.
And how about, two of their losses? Clemson's going to finish 9-3. And then Wake will probably be 10-2, and Notre Dame's going to be 11-1. Those are three of their losses. Louisville's a bowl team.
Jacksonville State's an outlier.
They fired their coach.
An outlier. It's
their first losing season since 2002, Jacksonville State. And they beat Florida State. They bought their they actually won one of the guaranteed losses, and they still finished under. That's the anomaly, I think, at this point.
Football's a crazy game.
It is.
Especially
when you don't play your best quarterback. It really can hurt you.
And especially when that officiating crew was on that call.
That's true.
They were on the call. Kalen DeLoach had the interception.
That's right. That's
targeting call.
Iced the game. Yeah,
just
you're
saying.
Right. You're right. Hey, they love calling targeting.
They love calling targeting. They can't wait to call a target. They step into that stadium. They breathe the air. They turn to one another. There's some targeting going on out here.
It's a good day for some targeting,
good
fellas.
Good day to throw a targeting flag. Am I right? So one thing I would say, Kalen DeLoach, good on you, young man.
Man, he's
that
making some
kid
plays.
Has improved immensely. What a good year, man. He's gotten better and better and better. He's like legit good.
Yeah, and you could see, again, it's like what we haven't seen from FSU linebackers since, I swear it's been since Telvin Smith, like seeing plays before they happen and shooting and making the play. I mean, it's been forever.
No, he's playing well, man, and he brought a level of physicality that we haven't seen in a while here, too. I mean, that was, for a guy that size to play that physical, and he took on the block with the offensive lineman and then still made that play and got up talking smack. By the way, that official could not wait to get on him about him.
Oh, did he?
Watch.
Go. Yeah, no, he's pushing him.
He's so upset with him for talking. You might be right, those sons of bitches. You might
there
be right.
There we go. Join. We got room. We got room on this van.
We need to do like a deep. I'm not saying we're going to vox these guys. Is that what you call them? We're
docks.
Not docs. We're not going to dox these guys. Vox. But we got to do a deep dive on where their hatred for Florida State comes from. Like, is it the head referee that it's an edict from him on high, or is it maybe a couple of side judges?
The biggest problem they have, and I noticed this on a lot of the bad calls. They throw flags for what they think happened, not what they saw. Mm-hmm. They do that a lot. A lot of officials do that. It's problematic. Secondly, they're old and slow, and they're out of position. Two of those guys are old as dirt, and they don't know what they're looking at.
It's also clearly probably the worst crew in the league because they got both Jacksonville State, Florida State games.
Right.
It's not like they're calling
the good games.
They don't have any games with Clemson. They don't have any of the good games.
Yeah. Well, they need to be told to have a good day.
Yeah.
I mean, this has to be the end of it, right?
Conference USA, if that's still a thing. Didn't they lose all their teams, Conference USA? But go to the Sun Belt or something, man. I'm tired of it.
Tony writes, been a lot of talk about Brownlee, a cornerback. He plays so hard, will come up and hit you in the mouth. Think maybe in the offseason looking at moving him to safety. I do like Brownlee. He's not a dominant corner, there's no doubt, but he is physical.
Yeah.
He does care. He does play hard. He just, against the better receivers in this league, he's going to have a hard time.
He's also... I think he's been dealing with some, and I'm not excusing the way he's played sometimes, but I do think he's been dealing with some injury issue. I don't know exactly what it is, but I don't think he's been full speed in a long time. But I think, and Cora, I wanted to bring this up to you at some point. Don't you
think a good time, Ira.
His
Let's
personality,
do this.
Don't you think his personality is a big part of their defense? I mean, because he's just a fighter, dude. Like, he's a tough kid from Miami that just wants to compete and fight. And maybe you're not the best. Think of a guy, and I'm not putting like Tavares McFadden down, but that guy from a skills standpoint and a stature standpoint was a much more NFL type body and prospect. But to compete, I mean, the way Jarvis Brownlee
competes,
could
transfuse
it
his competitiveness into Tavares McFadden, McFadden would be in the league right now.
It gives you, I mean, I think it gives something to your defense.
I do too, and I think he definitely belongs on the field in
some capacity.
Because of that. And look, man, I thought he did a really good job on Rambo. Rambo had three catches. Two of them were just great catches. I mean, in a great throw. But he was really silent for a lot of the game. You know, the way they play sometimes, your corners are going to get beat.
Right.
They put you on an island, and there are good receivers in this conference.
Well,
doesn't have an elite speed.
No. And that's the problem. That's why I said the better receivers in this league are going to have a good day against him.
But overall, he's played well as a corner. He's just had some glaring mistakes.
Some big
moments. But totality of the season, he's been pretty solid.
Well, and they play a lot of man because they don't play zone well.
No, and
that puts him out there like you're talking about. Donald writes, it's time to give Maurice Smith more credit for this offensive resurgence. The consistent presence at center is not wasted on Jordan. Yes and no. I think it is great to have him in there. They're better with him than not. He's having a hard time physically right now, and he's going to have to get a lot bigger and stronger in the offseason. There are a lot of plays you go back and watch. He gets blown up quickly. But that's not for lack of effort. It's not because he doesn't understand the game. It's not any of those things. He's just got to get bigger.
Well, but and to his point, though, that was him coming back was around the time, and Jordan gets moved to starter, but it was also that's when things kind of got shored up. Just from he understands what they're supposed to be doing.
Correct.
Calling it linebacker.
Correct. I agree with that.
All that stuff, man. He's the best they have by far at all those things. So,
Dylan Gibbons has been a very valuable member of this offensive line, and you poo pooed that in the offseason.
Well,
y'all thought it was
a guarantee. I had to see it because he hadn't done anything in Notre Dame. It's like, okay, just because he was at Notre Dame doesn't mean he's good.
Pull up that audio, too.
Come on, guys.
You're digging
in the archives. It wasn't like my Maryland is going to be a problem. I said he could be.
He's been really, really good.
And it's a really big deal that he's coming back next year. That's a huge deal. But yeah, going to Maurice Smith. When you think of this offensive line, four of them are coming back, right? You're losing DLT, or Brady Scott, whoever's starting there because of injuries. But other than that, you got four of them coming back.
And if the Schrader
should be bigger,
they love Schrader. He just been out with an injury. If he comes back, and I think he's been starting to get close to getting
back.
Dare
I say it could be not just a solid or serviceable offensive line. By this time next year, it could be pretty good.
With a legit freaking quarterback.
With a legit quarterback that you believe in. And also credit to Maurice Smith because – you know, those snaps aren't easy. My man, he had a snap infraction where he just grounded it to himself.
So I got a question, by the way.
But at the end of the game, when they're running out the clock, those are big snaps, and he's hitting them right in the chest every time.
Now, I need to go back and look at this, and I meant to, and you just reminded me, and that's why I haven't. On that play, the snap infraction, I don't think that was the correct ruling.
That's what did they?
It should have been a fumble.
It should have been their ball.
But
well, I think he picked it up.
You can't be the first to touch it, and that
was that a fourth down.
It should have been their ball.
I thought it would have just been like a play, like it would have been carried by number 53.
That was a fourth down, was it not?
I don't remember.
And then they chose to punt.
I didn't see that angle because I was there. But
he snapped it against his leg and then just picked it up and stood there with it.
But I know in a couple of those situations, Florida State felt like, you know, BC was doing the snap count.
Yeah, imitating the snap. Yeah, and they got called for that early in the game, by the way. But no, that was I need to know that rule again. I don't think you can do what he did, and there are no repercussions.
Well, you definitely can't. Yeah, you can't just snap it and take off.
Well,
it has to touch the quarterback.
It didn't, and it hits his leg, and he picks it up and stands there. And then the kid tackles him.
Yeah, blow the play dead.
But I guess if they call it as more like a false start,
they called it a snap infraction.
Then it's like the play never happened, I guess.
I need clarification on the rule because it was fourth and six, and in doing
so
that
they punted
saves
it.
Our ass
right.
because by holding onto the ball and they call that and then we get to punt. I thought it should have been their ball. I was horrified that it would have been. If it's not, they need to change that rule.
Yeah, it's a dumb rule.
It's a dumb
rule. You just
rule.
Snap it to yourself whenever you want.
Yeah. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
You know how much more fun it is, boys. You can just feel it, right? This hour is almost gone. We're about to get the headliner questions just that. See what happens when you win games?
This ain't like late September
headliners. No, that was rough. That was rough.
Those were tough days. We were dragging our heads were bowed as we walked into the studio. We all kind of had to encourage each other.
Yeah.
The
Gators were number 10 in the country, loving life, loving their coach.
Really, at halftime of that Louisville game, I just remember sitting there thinking, what are we going to write about? Because you didn't feel like anybody was going to get fired no matter what happened this season.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe the DC, but that was it.
Maybe, but yeah. But the team, it looks like it's going to be awful. And then you have that second half of the schedule. Nobody's going to want to read anything. We're not going to have anything to say. We can't call for people to get fired necessarily. So what would you even write about? Then they played that second half, and I remember thinking, man, at least they gave us that half.
They gave us a week to write about. Yeah.
There's some stuff we can write about this week. Hey, the secondary played better in that half.
Hey, they were much more physical in that half. They got some stops.
Yeah, they didn't score a point. They made a punt seven times in a half.
Yeah.
Now here we go. People are back.
Yeah, and it was the precursor of good moments to come. And yeah, we would not have guessed it. It's strange, and it's even going to be strange going into next year. But it is interesting. Right. So get your subscription now to warchant.com.
Exactly.
There you go.
Make sure
you're
locked in to Wake Up War Chant, the Jeff Cameron Show, and all the other things like the Sunday Smash that we provide. Just so much content all the time. It's overwhelming content.
It is overwhelming.
It's a bit overwhelming at times.
But it's cool that now it's for a team that's winning some games. That's
basketball
cool.
Team dominated that ass last night, guys.
Yeah, man.
Sure did. Sprinkle that in there. A little. Get you some Missouri. Missouri wants no part of Florida State. Whenever those two teams match up, it's a beatdown.
And Loyola Marymount's not terrible, and they looked like a high school team trying to deal with that pressure.
27 turnovers, 24 turnovers.
24 turnovers. And they went out and beat SMU the next night because they were playing a normal team. It's like, oh, this is cool. They'll just let us dribble up the court.
This is a weird Florida State team. I'm excited to go to the game tomorrow. I don't know what to make of this team just yet. They've got a lot of interesting pieces. We usually have a pretty good understanding of what this group can be and what they are in the moment, like the last few years. You have a kid here and there that's a one and done that you're like, well, we'll see how much better he gets. But we know that on the whole, they're this, and this. Man, this is a weird team.
No, it is. But I also feel like there's been times where you've thought, wait, man, they have all of December to figure it out. And that's what this is going to be about, getting ready for ACC play. But there are pieces, and you like the pieces. And if the veterans can play – like, Raekwon Evans played well last night. Anthony Polite played well. Malik Osborne's been playing well for most of the season, almost the entire season. If those guys play well, then it gives you a chance with those younger guys. Caleb Mills, as he continues to get more comfortable. And I still think I don't have any less expectations for this team than I did a month ago.
I like the
I'm not saying that. Yeah,
no, I'm not saying you did.
Yeah. I'm just making sure people know. I think they're a good team.
And I think Ngom actually does make a difference. His impact. He moves.
Say it
better.
Again.
He
Say moves. It one more time.
Well, because without him, they're starting Wyatt Wilkes, which that's a small
don't
lineup.
Qualify.
Well, Ngom can protect. He looks different. It looks like he's lost
Ngom weight.
Ngom in
22,
well.
Man.
Yeah, well, he might. I mean,
not seen any dominant performances from Ngom.
He's my early pick for ACC Player of the Year.
Go!
It's him or the Duke freshman. Those are probably the two early.
That's a toss up.
That kid might get another DUI.
The only problem with Ngom is he's just not going to get the minutes to put up the huge numbers that you'd want. He's not going to play 39 like Krzyzewski plays his guys. But yeah, they do guard you, and they need rim protection. And he does offer some of that. He almost made that three he took last night.
They got plenty of height. They got guys.
Yeah, but they got plenty of – John Butler's
shooting
you can roll through him.
Yeah.
Then maybe not next year when he puts on weight, but he's so small and the other guys don't quite
Plus
know what they're doing yet.
Plus he's a perimeter
player,
too, at 7 feet.
But Ngom is a guy that can move his feet well enough to maybe stay in front of guys.
And he's got some to him. Like, he likes blocking shots.
And Matthew Cleveland's good.
Yeah. Matthew Cleveland's really good.
I mean, he gets whatever he wants
The defensive end is where I agreed with you that Ngom could make a difference. Just that height alone, and he's strong, so there's a chance that you're going to alter a lot of shots. I think you're intimating that maybe he's a better offensive player than we've seen.
I tell you what, he threw down a dunk last night that looked like, okay, man, that we didn't see that last year.
We saw
that explosion.
Or
throwing off
year.
The back of the
or
rim.
Just dropping it with stone hands.
He went and threw it down.
Well, two things. I just felt like the way he shot free throws, I feel like he has hand talent. And then I knew Stan Jones, with a full offseason, would get him to where he could play.
Yeah, he's serviceable. He'll be a 15, 16-minute a night guy that can help. Hey, but back to defense. I think it was John that asked the question. It made a nice donation about the last play call before Akeem's interception where I think he blitzes Brownlee off the end.
Right.
That's a really good – or maybe it was second down.
Pierre eats up three people.
And, yeah. And was it second down when they tried to run it again and then they stopped
them? I think it was second.
Yeah, which I thought that was an odd play call to me. I know they had run pretty well that drive, but that seemed – that was a little hubris by the Boston College OC. Like, okay, let's – we got four downs. Let's run it again on second down and gash them. And like, no, now you're third and 11. That was a really, really big play.
That's a – by the way –
it's a great call by Fuller who doesn't blitz much.
That play, the second down play you're talking about when you run – in all the advanced metrics, Corey, that you like, not just modern, but the advanced ones. It's like the least efficient play in football when you run on second and 10. Like you're guaranteeing your drive is ruined.
And I told Stephanie that one of the games we were watching, I'm like, because Florida State, when they throw on first down and throw an incomplete pass, it's almost always a run on second
down.
Always a run.
It's not an efficient play.
And so I told her on when we were watching, I'm like, well, this is going to be a run after Travis had an incomplete pass. And it actually wasn't. And I think he completed it. Like, yeah, you've got to throw on second down.
Yeah, if you set up second and 10, if you get no yards on first down, you don't need to be running on second and 10.
I get it in certain situations, especially if your defense is tired.
If you're running out the clock.
If your defense is tired, you don't want to send him back out there and only take up 15 seconds with three incompletions. But I don't know if that 30 seconds on a second down run that goes nowhere does a whole lot to help him either.
No.
At least if you throw it on that down. Yeah.
Especially when you're really bad at third down and you're awful at third down this
year. I'm just talking about in general. When you watch football, when you see teams do that, it's stunning. Go ahead and just track it and see how often that drive ends in a punt. It's going to most of the time. It's just hard to convert third and long. So if on second down you get less than 5 yards, you're in third and six or more. Good luck with that.
I've had a ton of people ask me over the last 3 days, like, why Dan Mullen got fired.
It seems self-evident.
I don't know, man.
He's lost nine of their last 11 games against Power 5.
Well, teams. And he is
they
who
got
he is.
The idea, out by South
the idea, the idea that you were in the conference championship game a year ago.
And played them close.
The fact that you were 1.35 and whatever they were to start his career. It's just a lot of people are like, man, that's crazy to get to that point. But I think it's more about the fact that he had nobody on his side. Like, nobody likes him. Nobody supported him.
He alienated everybody. He stopped recruiting. Right. Yeah. He sealed his death warrant when he got up there and poo-pooed the idea of recruiting. Right. What are you doing? The guy that owns your ass and who obliterated you this year gave a 20-minute soliloquy about how much he loves to recruit.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Kirby Smart. And you're over here just stutter-effing your way through recruiting.
Well, and the problem is he wasn't – obviously, he knows that recruiting doesn't start after the Florida State game. Clearly. But number one, his message was terrible.
It was awful.
And he was just trying to be an ass to the reporter.
He was just defensive, exactly.
But that's you got to understand, there's cameras on you, man. This is going out nationally.
Situational awareness, having –
you can't say
the room,
it's not recruiting season.
Dan Mullen didn't do these things.
Yeah, you can't say you can ask me about recruiting when it's recruiting season. That's ridiculous to say to a fan base that knows how important recruiting is.
We got a break in a second. There were Bull Gators who, after last year, couldn't wait for him to be gone, and that was after making the SEC championship game.
And a New Year's Six game. Right. They got tattooed by Oklahoma,
and he also poo-pooed that.
And here's the thing:
he had excuses every time they lost.
Jimbo could be a pain in the ass to deal with for even not just us. I'm talking about for the administration, for boosters, and everybody else. But he also could be likable. And there were
Dan
times
never is.
Dan never had that ever.
Headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with.